Welcome to No Fear CDI, the podcast that helps clinical documentation specialists overcome the fear of physician conversations and take their CDI game to the next level. Let's get started.
Hello, this is Glenn Krause from Core CDI with another great episode of No Fear CDI. And why do we call it No Fear? Because one word, change. CDI must change and not be fearful of change because AI is making inroads. And the trajectory of CDI is slowing down. We need to make change to what we're doing. Change is not easy, but it's a reality. Today, I have the privilege of having Dr. Lim Hoko on the call, on a podcast. We have an interesting topic that people must embrace as part of being a change agent and redirecting and also repositioning ourselves for the future of CDI. And of course, we got the grand master of the ceremony, Ernie from Finally Friday. So what we'd like to do today is talk a little bit about remote CDI. I had a post about 3 weeks ago on LinkedIn, remote CDI, and I got quite a few disagree emails that we can be just as effective working from home. I disagree. So, Dr. Lim Hoko, for those who don't know you, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you for having me on your podcast, mm-hmm. Ernie and Glenn.
Yep, thank you.
I've been in the space for more than 30 years, all the way back to the early 90s, where it wasn't even called CDI.
Yep.
And so I've been across the country doing CDI implementation all over, from small critical access hospitals to big multi-facility health systems to teaching hospitals and whatnot. So that's the background that I have, and I'm passionate about it, so much so that I have coined the phrase, the clinical truth, which came out of one of my implementations back in 2011. So that's a short background. Glenn?
I had myself on mute. I Dr. Martin told me if you talk to yourself, that means you're going to avoid dementia. So I shouldn't get dementia. Thank you, Dr. Lim Hoko. So here's the thing. Remote CDI started really from when the pandemic. Of course, who wants to be on the floor with the raging COVID? I believe there's a certain amount of comfort level in remote CDI, but on the other hand, there's good points and there's not so good points in regards to remote CDI. And Dr. Lim Hoko and I feel strongly that yes, you can work from home, provided there's someone on site, a energetic, strong communicator who's able to be the face of CDI. And Ernie, what are your thoughts?
Well, listening to and reading your posts and listening to some of the things that have come back, I think anybody who thinks that CDI can be just effective remotely, then they don't know what the job of CDI is. They don't know how to do the job because you can't help anybody. All you can do is audit. You're just an auditor then. Fine. Uh-huh. Be a coding auditor. But that's not CDI.
Absolutely. So here's the motto I want to throw out there, Ernie and Dr. Lim Hoko. Here's the thing. Responsibilities of CDI go way beyond CC, MCC capture. Okay? So what is the role of CDI? is to serve, make is to recognize a record as a communication tool, first and foremost, and not just communicate diagnosis, because what's happening today is we're getting denials. Dr. Limhoco sees denials. I see denials, but up to 10% of the queries that are actually initiated, the payer disallows the diagnosis. Why? Because the patient's story is not there. And Dr. Limhoco is going to talk about the patient's story in a minute, because that's his passion. The other thing is, okay, what good deal is there? Or what's the benefit of querying when we don't get paid? What's the query of querying if we get a denial for medical necessity? And it has to be downcoded to observation. So first of all, communication tool. What are the challenges of remote CDI? We can't talk to the physician. We can't attend multidisciplinary rounds where we can listen to what the doctor's summarizing for the previous day's visit. Where's the patient now? Where's the patient? Where's the doctor going, and why? And that's important. Why? Which Dr. Limhoco stresses all the time. Progress notes are significantly copy and paste. Oftentimes, you can't find the patient in the story. You have maybe one sentence that's changed throughout 5 days. It's hard for UR to seek authorization for additional days, as every note looks like the same, and the patient is lying in bed comfortable. And what happens? We get denials. Payers are denying about 15.4% of all initial claims. 15.4%. Okay, that's unbelievable. And if you think of the cost of having to appeal, there were several studies that, including Premier and Kaufman had a report, and Experian had a report, and they say the cost to appeal was $43 to $45. I'm confident in saying that's rather low, because you have to copy the record. You have to send the record in. You have to cross your fingers that they're going to accept your appeal. And if they don't, you got Medicare has five levels. It could be 6 months before you get your ch chance to argue, to go through the five levels, to have any chance of getting your money back. So if you lose at the reconsideration, the Medicare Administrative Congress takes their money back. So the reality is, we're not really focusing on proactive, preemptive denials avoidance. Dr. Limhoco, why don't you say a little bit about the patient's story? Because I you explain it from a clinician's point of view.
Ultimately, transparency and documentation is paramount. Clear, accurate, and comprehensive, yet concise notes help to illuminate the true nature of the patient's condition. With this transparency, it not only aids in understanding the current state of the patient's health, but it also supports ongoing evaluations and adjustments to the treatment plans. When healthcare professionals, the clinicians, when they document their findings and thought processes diligently, the continuity of care improves and better informed decisions can be made. So that is really the crux of clinical documentation integrity, and that's what everyone should be going for. Glenn?
Sorry, I had myself on mute again. Thank you. So listen, here's the motto I subscribe to. And Dr. Limhoco and Ernie, please comment. The motto should be one or two people working in the hospital. If you have specific queries that are maybe not amenable to a query, such as POA, such as PSIs, such as particularly clinical validation, because I find it hard myself personally. I'm still work as a CDI. I'm not just a consultant. It's awful difficult to put down a clinical validation query that doesn't offend the doctor. I think like a physician. because I missed my calling. After determining that I was 42 and liked to be a doctor, I didn't want to have depends on when I'm doctoring. When you do a clinical validation query, it's almost like, okay, doctor, are you sure you know what you're talking about? It's better to talk to the physician and say, you know, the payers, I would approach it like this. The payers are really clamping down on sepsis, acute renal failure, tubular necrosis, pneumonia, type 2 MI, CHF, severe protein count, malnutrition, metabolic encephalopathy. They're second guessing your clinical judgment, and it's really they're able to do so because the patient's story is not well told, or maybe there's an inconsistency in the documentation where the doctor put down alert Norrie times three and no current distress, resting comfortably in bed, then documenting sepsis, and I've seen that more than once. So how do you put that into a query? Doctor, you wrote alert Norrie times three. Please clarify. It's better to have a conversation so you can teach the physician. When you write non-toxic appearing, when you write alert Norrie times three and no distress, and you put down acute respiratory, hypoxemic respiratory failure, that's going to be denied automatically. And the doctor will say, well, the patient's on 10 liters of oxygen. But for treatment, why didn't the doctor put it in there? So you can use that as an educational piece. Or I've seen one where the doctor says in a HP interval history, patient resting comfortably in bed, no acute pain at this time. Fell off a scaffold, I think 5 or 6 stories, and landed on grass. Fortunately, it was grass. Well, I talked to the physician, and he said, oh, the patient's on a PCA, and without the pain meds, the patient would be in pain. Okay, well, where's that in the chart? Because you are people realize that if we send the record in this way, we are going to get a denial for continued stay. So these we can be a patient advocate. Dr. Lim Hoko, do you agree? We can be a patient advocate because we're not just looking for money. We're looking for documentation of medical necessity for level of care. The right care at the right time, in the right reason, in the right venue, with the right diagnosis, with the right plan of care, all supported by the right documentation. Dr. Lim Hoko, do you see that as a CDI mission?
Absolutely. Integrating a patient-centered approach into clinical documentation integrity programs is not only beneficial for patients, which is the most important part, but essential for the overall effectiveness of the healthcare system. By prioritizing the individual patient course in clinical documentation, healthcare providers can ensure more accurate records, improve care quality, and ultimately enhance patient outcomes. It also assures revenue integrity. As we move forward in the evolution of healthcare delivery, a commitment to patient-centered documentation will be a key driver of success in CDI initiatives, ensuring what we truly uphold, the principle of putting patients at the center of care. Glenn.
Absolutely. And I agree. And so the reality is, as I mentioned, I want to close with this. There seems to be a complacency in working from home. I'm okay with working from home as long as we have people on site. If we don't have people on site, we're not going to move the needle. It's going to be challenging because how do we educate? Someone told me recently when I said queries are reactive, transactional, and repetitive and don't change physician behavior, I got two people ganged up on me and disagreed. They said we can put education in, we can put some tips in education in queries. No physician wants queries. They want to streamline their documentation. It's a more advantageous if we expand our horizons, just like Dr. Lim Hoko said, and be able to be allies, facilitators of better documentation. And speaking of change, I saw a demo the other day. I'm actually working with a company in Australia, and we're working to develop a true physician documentation excellence. Dr. Martin called it communication documentation excellence, which, if developed properly, developed thoroughly, okay. And that's why they're working with me and Dr. Martin, is because they want to see what is the market, what's the need in this country, because it's, you know, there's different models of reimbursement, but the documentation standards are the same. I can see, folks, a 50% reduction in the number of CDI needed. And if you look at AI scribes and generative AI and all the work to streamline documentation, the queries going through the record manually, or even having suggested automated queries, which scare me, there's not going to be a need for that. So what do? We need to pivot, as I mentioned earlier. We need to look at what we're doing versus what we should be doing as the mission of CDI, and what is our vision, and understanding that we need to put our foot in the ground. And almost like anchor bias, because I got anchor bias, to say, folks, it's time for change. CDI has been around since what, 2008, 2009, as a formal profession. And what we haven't done is change the process of CDI. So I want to leave you with these words, or these words, not word. Change is inevitable. Getting started means structural framework of CDI. What's our goal is to improve communication, as I mentioned earlier, the right care at the right time, to have the record speak to the patient story. Dr. Lim Hoko said patient-centric. That's what we need to be thinking. Patient advocates. I call myself facilitators of better communication. And I just want to stress one thing. Remember, the only person who can improve their documentation and the integrity is the person seeing the patient, whether it's a nurse practitioner, physician assistant, physician, resident. We can help in that transformative approach to documentation, what Dr. Martin calls proactive preemptive denial avoidance. That's what it's all about, as opposed to which produces sustainable, durable revenue, that net patient revenue that the CFO is depending on. You read about all these, get this. I'm going to close with this and turn it over to Dr. Lim Hoko. Last year, 25 hospitals closed. 25. The year before that, 14. As of today, 10 hospitals have already closed. Well, we got th almost into the third month, end of the third month, and 10 hospitals have closed. Okay, the last one that was closed recently is East Ohio, and you know what the CEO, MD, a physician who bought the hospital in 2019 after it closed then said? Two things. Patient mix, too many Medicare and Medicaid because they don't cover the cost generally. And they had excessive denials from payers and a lot of money tied up in receivables. Well, how many of those denials could have been avoided with better documentation, more effective? Do they have a CDI program on staff? Dr. Lim Hoko, closing remarks?
Two things. It all starts with the true purpose of healthcare, and that's the patient. To achieve this, we must ensure that the accurate narrative is documented in the health record. And that's it.
Ernie, we've been talking for discussing. What are your closing remarks?
I hear you guys talking about this, and it does require change because the CDI programs today, they're not completely at fault, but 10 hospitals have already closed in the first 3 months. That means something has to change. And what I teach people is, look, I call it the KFC formula, and it's
Oh,
got
yeah, I love this. I love this,
nothing to
Ernie.
do with fried chicken. But the K means know what you want. The F means figure out what you're getting. And the C means change what you're doing until you get what you want. And that's a pretty simple way of thinking about it, but it's surprising to me how few people want to conduct that change, even though they know they're not getting what they want.
Well, folks, we appreciate Dr. Limhoco. Ernie, thank you so much for host for ho particularly Ernie hosting the podcast. Dr. Limhoco is always great to be on a podcast with you because you have I love that comment, True North. True North and patient-centric. And I forgot to mention, Dr. Limhoco, can you just give a brief overview of this great master class that we're doing with Dr.
Oh,
Stokes?
yes. What's great about it is that the program is designed to align all the stakeholders, the clinicians, the CDI specialists, the coders, even utilization care management, denials and appeals management, of course,
Yep.
quality management, even, and compliance. If we can have everyone on the same page and understand the importance of clinical documentation, of making sure that the true patient narrative is captured in data. That's the goal, and that's what we're aiming to do with the CDI Masterclass. It's a year-long, 50 half an hour sessions, which are available online and on demand. And it's for acute care hospitals, adult acute care hospitals at this point in time.
Yeah, and you know what I like about it? Okay, is that it's not the basic CDI. It's really advanced CDI. And I mentioned that we need to pivot and rebrand or re-engineer. This is one way to do it. And what is the website for that, Dr. Limhoco?
CDI Masterclass.com, I believe. Well, you
I
caught
caught
me
you off
unawares
guard.
here. You caught me off guard.
Let me see. Hold on a minute, because we don't go to our own website.
This sounds wonderful, though. I can't wait to see that come out.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but we're excited. So, Ernie and Dr. Limhoco, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. And if you want to know some additional information, free articles and references and resources and blogs and podcasts, go to my website, core-cdi.com, and you'll just sign up for my weekly email that has great information. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.